it what we found. It's a big sound in a small town. Far from the bright lights, they're making music every night. Hear what is all around. It's a big sound in a small town. It's a big sound in a small town. It's a big sound in a small town.
Hi, and welcome to Big Sound Small Town. I'm your host, Sandy Carlton, and this is a podcast about the lives and stories of the musicians, writers, artists, and their associates that have their roots in the small towns and communities across America. If you like what you hear, tell somebody. Enjoy.
My name is Galaxy Lineberger. I'm a member of the Dancing Fleas, America's premier ukulele party band, and I'm also just a member of the Shelby underground music scene in general.
Welcome to the show, Galaxy.
Thank you for having me, Sandy.
Well, you're welcome. I'm going to start with what's going on at the salon.
At the salon right now, just trying to make it through this pandemic. I know that you interviewed Henry. Did Henry talk about our music stuff at the salon at all when you interviewed him?
No, let's talk about it.
Okay, so we're not doing anything currently, but because it's with Corona and everything, right. But we were doing small music events at the salon before the shutdown. We're trying to, in 2021, have outdoor summertime concerts. That's kind of the goal for that. But right now at the salon, it's just getting holiday hair and makeup and everything in, and you know, just trying to survive.
Go ahead and plug it where it is.
Oh yeah, okay. So we're Almost Heaven Salon and Spa. We're located on 625 South Lafayette Street, right around the corner, just a few doors down from Substation 2. We do hair, skin, nails, tattooing, and piercing.
Cool. So we get that out of the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will have to put a plug in. You can see the work they do.
Facebook and Instagram. Our Facebook is Almost Heaven Salon and Spa. Our Instagram is Almost Heaven Salon and Spa. Really easy to find.
It's amazing work. They're not only their haircuts just fabulous, but so is the color.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
That's strange coming from a guy. all right, let's talk music now.
Absolutely.
So what's going on with you currently?
Right now, the Dancing Fleas, we're trying to find shows that are safe to play. We played a few shows in South Carolina, and that's been, yeah, exactly. That's where the shows are right now, South Carolina. Yeah. Which any local musician, if you're trying to make it right now and you don't mind playing in an indoor setting, South Carolina is where you need to be going right now. They have huge tours that are canceled that they've already paid for, and they're, you know, booking way smaller acts just to try to fill those spots. So we got to play at Freight Yard, which was awesome, and that's a beautiful outdoor venue. And we're playing the tree lighting ceremony, which should be on C-19 soon. And we were on PBS recently, which was an awesome experience.
I heard that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so we were on Rudel's Block Party Live, which they usually do, I guess, some sort of a music festival, which they call Rudel Block Party. And they're doing it all on the TV this year, and they're having different groups send in video. So my group got to send in our cover of Rockin' Robin and do a cute little socially distant music video, and that is up on YouTube right now if you missed it, actually on TV.
So how did that come about?
My dad works for PBS, which is awesome, but they were pitching this new show, and he was like, they were talking about needing local musicians or North Carolina musicians, and he said, well, yeah, I would happen to know one that would be willing to do the first episode. So we are there on the pilot episode of Rudel Block Party Live.
Really good. I've seen that you've been doing a lot of rehearsing during the pandemic.
We typically still are rehearsing at least once a week. We have a big practice space. We wear masks the whole time and stand far apart from each other and wipe down our microphones and disinfect them at the end of the night. And so far, it's been good. We've had a couple members who have caught COVID, but that's what is bound to happen when you have a 10-person band and everyone leaves independent lives. So we've had a couple scares, but it has not. We have not had any experience with cross-contamination from one family to another.
Yeah, let's talk about the band. I mean, it is a 10-piece ukulele band.
It is, and it's a family band. So me and my dad are two of the original members of the band, which has now been, it's been 8 years since we joined the band together. I recently found the Facebook post where Perry Anthony posted on my dad's wall and said, "Jason, would you be interested in forming a ukulele club?" And my dad said, "Sure, I don't know much ukulele, but I bet my daughter would be interested too." And here we are 8 years later. And yeah. Perry's still in the band, and his dad is in the band.
True.
And then we have Laura, Jeff, and Silas. That's a family unit. It's been pretty great just having, I love the family aspect
yeah,
of it.
That's pretty cool. You want to cover the type of music that you guys play?
We play everything, just about. We play the classics mostly, things that are going to be recognizable, but from any decade. It can be something that's on the radio that people are going to recognize, like Feel It Still, or it can be Hotel California.
Right.
Whatever people are going to get up and dance to, but we also, because of my own interests in indie music, sometimes I'll bring in some funny indie songs that are just as charming, but people might not necessarily recognize it as a cover. We typically, when we have a show upcoming, we practice our set list, and then when we don't, it's a free-for-all. It's bring whatever music you want to bring, and we'll try it, and if it clicks, we'll keep playing it, and if it doesn't click, we'll throw it out.
Sure, just like a real band.
Exactly. It's the same thing.
So, yeah, same thing,
absolutely.
Is it hard to find everybody, you know, for everybody to find a space with 10 people?
I wouldn't say so, because we'll pick a song, and even if, let's say, Perry brings a song and it's his song that he wants to play, but it's just not working for his voice, we'll shuffle it on over to Laura or Lori or me, you know, and we'll just go for whoever seems to have the best sound for the song. And I think that organically things end up being pretty fair.
Okay, I'm sure that everyone plays a ukuleles more than any other instrument. Come in a variety of shapes and sizes, and
absolutely,
you know, so I guess that really helps the orchestra part of it,
right? We have everything from the supremo to
right.
the baritone to the bass,
right.
We have every ukulele in between. We try to make sure when we're buying new ukuleles, we're not all buying the
same one
yeah. So we don't have eight tenors, and then,
right.
you know, then that's
not
a problem.
Exactly where I was going with that, you know.
Right,
I didn't want people to think there were 10 standard ukuleles in
right.
a band all playing rhythm. So.
Yeah, that's not what we're doing. And, you know, when we first started, that was closer to it, because we all had beginner ukuleles,
right.
so they're almost all sopranos or concerts.
Right.
And so it was, you know, six concert or soprano ukuleles, and we didn't really have any bass.
Right.
We did have, at the very beginning when we were playing with David Melton, he did bring out his steel guitar
right.
every once in a while.
Right.
But beyond that, it was pretty much ukuleles, and so we've tried to move away from that now that we have the skill.
So now it actually works like an orchestra.
Right, right.
As opposed to a band with lots of ukuleles.
Exactly. I mean, we definitely used to be a club,
right.
and we've come a long way to getting to the place where we are, where we're definitely a real performing professional band.
Speaking of a long way, did you not take this act overseas somewhat, your dad and yourself?
We did. So me and my dad had the awesome opportunity. We went to England, and we stayed in beautiful St. Ives, and we played two shows with the our sister band overseas, the Dancing Flea Orchestra, which is the ukulele group of Cornwall, England, under the same name, which we've been Facebook friends with for many years. But purely due to a fluke and a scheduling conflict, we got booked for a festival overseas that was really for them. And we contacted them and said, we would love to just hop in with you guys if you'll have us. And they said, bring it on.
Do you guys do the same type of music?
Strangely enough, yes.
Really?
Yes. Strangely enough, it's very similar. I would say that...
Song choices too?
Yes. There were a few songs in their set list when we went over there that were already in our set list across the seas. There were a few songs that we had heard of but hadn't added in. There was a couple that we got attached to and brought back to us.
So we
definitely recognized a handful of songs, and even some of the songs weren't songs that were in our current set, but they were things that we had tried.
Right.
They were things we did in the early days.
Right.
Because they definitely have a little bit more of a ukulele club vibe going on. We're down to 10 core people that are there all the time, where they're more like 30 people who come in and out, and everybody gets the music sent to their email, and then they show up and play.
Sure. Well, now, also, you guys aren't just, there's an entertainment aspect to it. Let's go into that.
Absolutely.
When you book you, you're not just booking you for music.
Exactly. We are not. We tried to be a background band, the type of thing that you can have at your corporate function and nobody really pays attention to it. But that's just not who we are. We tend to turn heads whether we mean to or not. But that's because we have clogging. So Laura Wheeler is a phenomenal tap dancer and clogger, and she does pretty much all of our foot percussion these days. And people lose their minds when she gets up to dance, and that's so exciting every time. And it's we have built-in jokes now. We've really fleshed out our set list as far as who introduces the songs, how do they do it, what are our gags, what are the jokes we come back to, and synchronized dance routines have come into play a lot. Our new practice location has a mirror that faces us like a ballet studio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that also just happened completely organically. We started being goofy in the mirror and then just incorporated it into the set.
Kind of like the old Motown acts, I guess.
Exactly, but it's so much fun. And yeah, now that we're really confident with our instruments, we can kind of expand in that way and not be so concerned about making sure we're getting the right notes.
So I guess that opens you up to a lot of jobs, not just, it's an entertainment deal, so.
Right, we definitely have a handful of smaller bars that they just adore us for that exact reason, because we don't just get up there and sing and then leave, we engage the audience. And so there's quite a few places that ask for us back more often than other people get on that rotation, just because we're such a good time for people.
Right. I mean, I've seen the act several times, and it is very entertaining.
Thank you.
It's okay. Well, can people afford a 10-piece band?
I would say so. We have pretty affordable prices. I mean, we all have.
I'm not asking you to give quotes or anything.
Yeah,
I'm
we all have. Yeah,
you.
We all have careers, and this is all just for fun, but we also know our worth.
Right.
So we've set a price that adequately covers our travel, and we don't pay ourselves out at this current point in time. We save for better equipment.
Yeah,
so we have better equipment. We save for things like, if we're going to try to do a show 4 hours away, then we would love to be able to rent a vehicle. So we have some money in the bank for those bigger opportunities as they come up. Like this year, we were supposed to go back to England in September, but with Corona, we couldn't do that. But that's left extra money in the bank because we've already had started putting that away. So we know our worth, but we're definitely affordable.
I've been doing this stuff wrong all these years. I'm just joking. That's a lot going on. Well, so you just started playing the ukulele with this club. Were you playing anything else before that?
I'm pretty sure me and my dad bought ukuleles for the club.
Okay.
So we were newbies, but I did play violin in a middle school orchestra. So by the time I joined the Fleas, I was probably 4 years into violin. I played a little guitar. My dad got me guitar lessons with David Melton when I was probably in the sixth grade and didn't go very far with that. So yeah, my majority of my musical things have just been with the Fleas and with the ukulele and growing with that instrument.
So I guess you own more than one ukulele these days?
I own two. I only own two. So my beautiful Ibanez.
Yeah, talk about it. That's
yes,
the one that you played. You played today for us with, right?
Right. So my Ibanez here is a tenor ukulele, but it is the same. It's an Iceman. Is that what it's called? I do believe it's the exact shape of the guitar from Kiss.
Yep.
Which I just fell in love with this particular tenor ukulele just for the look of it and it being a good stage instrument.
And I see that it is an electric instrument also.
Yep, electric acoustic. I think everybody in the band now is playing electric.
It would be really hard to mic 10 instruments.
Yeah, no, we have, I think all 10 ukuleles now are definitely all electric or electric acoustic. And if we have some technical difficulties, we'll just leave that whole ukulele out.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, let me ask you this. Do you play these through amps, or do you play these through the board?
Through the board.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have a big old soundboard with a million inputs, because we have to have a million.
Yeah.
And we'll use, you know, a solid 18 of them for a show.
So you have to have a sound man, basically, to go with you, or do you do that yourself?
So our go-to sound guy is Cole Hamrick at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
He's also their technical theater teacher. Wow. He's awesome. He typically comes with us and we'll play shows and be our sound man. But he's been training my little sister, who's one of his theater students, and she came and did our most recent show for us, and our sound was amazing.
Oh, that's good, then.
So we're just going to add another family member in to do it.
That's excellent, though. That is, okay. This is the tail time. Somebody gets too loud, you'll have to turn them down.
Oh, I'm the too loud one. That's me.
Keep turning up the whole night.
I sing, I project, so my vocals are always louder than everyone else's. Typically, we don't have any issue with that with ukulele because our soloists all have boards, and so they're, you know, changing their levels as they go. But as far as vocals, the big thing is we've really learned how to work with one another after being in the same band with the same people. They know I'm loud. We know that Lori's quiet. We know that Laura is also, she can be quiet. Lori tends to get up and she'll go away from the mic sometimes. And so it's about, we'll have to change certain people's levels depending on whether they're lead or backup, because we've also just learned that some people, they don't hear it. So we've learned to work around those things.
Do you have structured, practiced harmony singings, or do you just wing that as you go along?
We usually wing it, and then if there's a song that's not coming together with it, just organically, then we'll do an additional vocal practice.
Right. Okay, I mean, 10 people is a lot.
And we'll do 6-part harmonies, and it gets intense. Beautiful, but intense.
Yeah. New Christie Minstrels for the modern age, which is really cool, because you're pretty much one of a kind.
Yeah,
you pretty much have your market cornered at this point.
I would think so. I would hope so. We got our dedicated listeners, our flea bags.
That's what you call them.
That's what they've dubbed
they've
themselves.
Themselves.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, then. I guess Christmas season, you probably lock up a lot of jobs, don't you?
This year is kind of weird, but usually we always play the tree lighting ceremony.
Right.
We'll play a couple private Christmas events that won't necessarily be stuff that we record and put on the Facebook, because we do still get a handful of those corporate type business parties
and
things.
I mean,
and they're fun to do. So we'll typically do a handful of holiday parties, maybe our own holiday party. We tend to do, my parents got married on New Year's Eve, so they always throw a big New Year's Eve party, and the Fleas usually play that, and so that we don't book New Year's Eve shows often, because we'd rather just have a party. I mean, the 10 of us is a party wherever we go. So you add in just my parents' friends, and it's a good time, so we usually do that for New Year's.
that's just a sounds like a really wholesome.
Oh, it's wonderful. We did the last year we did it was at the banker's house and the fleas played and it was just lovely. So
let's talk about the you taking the tour of the banker's house.
Oh, I love the banker's house. Gorgeous place. Absolutely.
When I did it, I made buddies with the guy that is kind of the caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me the whole full tour.
Wow, you got to go upstairs?
Everything.
Wow. And, okay, I haven't been upstairs.
And I got to drink water out of the...
well?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, so the first time I think I went in the banker's house, I was a debutante, okay. Which I think is something people don't expect from me. But we did our debutante murder mystery, which the Shelby girls threw their party at the banker's house, and we did a murder mystery there.
Do you realize those stairs fell once at a debutante ball?
At one of the debutante balls? Yep. Wow, I didn't hear that.
They were all lined up on those stairs, mm-hmm. and the stairs collapsed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It is. Also, the caretaker told me that, there's some tragedy in the house, too.
Mm.
And that there's one of the rooms that is just the same as it was at the time of the death.
Wow.
And that he says there's a friendly ghost there. That the lights turn on, he'll be called back to work to turn off lights that he knows he turned on.
That's fascinating. I love ghost stories like that. We got to practice in Don Gibson's original apartment above Shelby Music, and I mean that is just dilapidated and falling apart. Yeah. And I know that most of those things are not. I mean, there's no way to know if anything specifically up there was left from Don, but I would doubt it.
There's a vibe. You know there's a vibe.
There's definitely a vibe.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That whole building is a walking musical ghost, really.
Yeah, yeah. But we were practicing for like our first tree lighting ceremony up there, and we would... There's no electricity up in his apartment, so we would have to use extension cords to get one lamp up there to practice with. But, I love that. I didn't know that debutantes collapse the stairs at the banker's house. I think that's awesome.
They were standing there. Just
I guess that's why we took our pictures outside.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you, did you take them on those stairs?
No, we took them outside.
Yeah,
but
why.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but it's cool. It's a cool place to go play.
Yeah, definitely. We love the banker's house, and we usually play there for the turkey trot.
Yeah.
And we'll play out in the front yard as people run by. That's always a fun time.
Your favorite place you played?
Favorite? I mean, it would have to be England.
Yeah, well,
but
okay. Throw that out.
A second best would be. I really like Oscar Blues Brewery.
Yeah, it's a pretty good place.
It's a really lovely place. But also, we happen to be playing there during a beautiful sunset over the mountains. So I would take that exact gig over and over any day of the week.
You guys get to play craft breweries a lot.
Yeah. We unfortunately, Noble Cider isn't doing live music anymore.
Right.
I think they decided that before the pandemic even.
Yeah,
that was a really lovely place to play. I've definitely liked our shows that are more in the Asheville area because I've noticed that the audiences seem to be more...
They're
more interested.
Yeah. They are. Their music palette is larger than other places.
Right.
Their and palette for everything is larger than other places in North Carolina.
I would say so. I lived in Asheville for a time, but then came back here. I definitely love any opportunity I get to be in the area, though, and get back to it, because it is a lovely
place
to be.
As a musician to work, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
It's probably the best, maybe outside of Chapel Hill, Raleigh, Durham area.
The only thing that I hear from Asheville area musicians is that you know, places will get into the, I mean, there's so many musicians, yeah, there's not enough gigs for all their locals. And so I almost feel bad going up there and taking any of them, because I know how many people are in the city and trying to get those gigs. You know, but if I'm getting them, I'm taking them.
Well, they have no problem coming here and taking them too.
So, that's true. That's true.
So it works out.
Right. That's absolutely true.
There's never enough to go around, but then some get more than their share, and it's because they work hard to do it.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's not yours sounds all fun and games, but it's more work than what people realize.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's work to get those gigs. It's work to maintain those relationships.
I don't see how those relationships in a 10-piece orchestra must be pretty tough.
I feel like it's been pretty good, because then we have 10 different people who have connections.
Yeah.
So, for example, you know, we love to play at Four Paws, which is a adorable doggy campground.
Yeah.
So precious. I definitely want to go camp with and steal my parents' Yorkie and go there.
Yeah.
But our connection to them is through Emma, who's actually our newest member of the band, but her parents are close with the owners. So, and we've become almost a house band there. So
that's good.
It's awesome, because, you know, I'll source a couple places, other people will source some places, and then it's kind of up to that person to maintain that relationship.
And I take it y'all all get along well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would say so.
Yeah, I've been doing this wrong all my whole entire life.
You get minor arguments here and there, but nothing that can't be solved.
That's great. I mean,
yeah,
that's absolutely great. What else we need to know, Galaxy?
I guess one of the other things that I wanted to talk about was just like the underground.
Yeah,
it's a different, I mean, I'm not involved as a musician per se, but there is a very thriving punk community here in Shelby that is surprising, and it's hiding, but it's there. My favorite local band would have to be, why can't I think of their name right now? Feelings Club. Feelings Club is an awesome local band. They just put out their first full-length album, and they're amazing. They got their start pretty much, like, some of their first shows ever were in the basement of my salon, which we don't do shows down there anymore because there's not adequate room for people to get in and out. But for a while, we were doing some little shows down there, and we had bands from Philly, New York City, people traveling all over, because they're using this underground network of these other small punk bands to get these gigs. They're messaging people in the bands, and they're saying, oh, you want to do a North Carolina tour? Come to Almost Heaven. Come do a show at the basement. And it's really cool to see that that's still alive, because these kids who are doing it are younger than me.
Yeah,
we got 18, 19-year-old kids making punk music that sounds like it came right out of the late 80s, early 90s, and it's blowing my mind.
That's great.
And I'm just thrilled to see it, and I hope that we can continue to foster opportunities for that in Shelby and different genres that Shelby hasn't seen before.
Also, somehow you hooked me up with a really good guest, and I was just curious of how that came about.
How I met Henry?
Yes.
So Henry went to Kings Mountain High School, and I went to Shelby. So we've actually known each other since high school. But in adulthood, I've been in several of his music videos. I've hosted several of his rap shows at my basement. I've attended a ton of them. I love to follow Austin Davis, who does a lot with Zeebo.
He's coming set tomorrow morning.
Yes! Okay, I love Austin. I have followed Austin for ages and gone to a ton of his shows. So yeah, I love that whole crew. I love those boys. I originally got kind of in with them because Zeebo, which is his whole brand, started out more skate-related than music-related.
Right.
And that's where I met Zeebo, was I was friends with all those skaters, and I think I did maybe his first ever kind of logo back in high school. Wow. He commissioned me to draw every guy in the skate crew big art piece. So I have, me and Zeebo go way back.
Yeah.
I love him.
He was a great guest. He actually, he came and computer crashed, so he had to come back two times. He had to do it a second time.
Oh, bless his heart.
But he was great. I mean, he was that's a driven young man, and I thank you for sending him.
Yes, he is always on. He is always looking for that new opportunity.
You're on my radar for people. So anytime you come up with someone,
oh yeah,
I appreciate that because he was a very entertaining guest.
I love
and
that.
Different. You know,
yes.
I try to have as many different varieties of music, genres of music that I can have on here because it's what's here. I mean, this is a music community.
There's so much more in the community than people realize. These local rappers are good. Yeah. Austin Davis has flow. He is good. And Henry, I find a camaraderie with Henry because our side of things and that area of the community is very much on the outside. We're not the musicians. Right. We're not the rappers, but we're helping to facilitate them.
It's a community, though.
And I love that me and Henry have that same love for the local community and to help them.
It takes a whole... This is something... Cleveland County has something that most towns do not have. It has a whole vast community of music. It's more than just an artist here, a band here. We have venue owners. We have record producers. It's just huge, all the people that are involved for such a small town. So many awesome musicians in any style of music you want to look for. So.
Yeah, it's been so cool to actually get to go to shows in my town because, my first house shows were all in Greenville or Charlotte, Asheville. And now to see that's the DIY scene is here too. True. Is really exciting for me.
It is. I even know a guy from town here who is doing the one man thing all across the United States. Bless his heart.
Wow.
You know Jonathan Robinson?
Yeah, I sure do.
Pistol Hill.
I definitely know Jonathan. We went to high school together too.
He is the hardest working musician in North Carolina.
You think so? Wow.
He plays every night of the week, has during the pandemic, from nowhere South Carolina to nowhere Minnesota. And all the big places in between.
Yeah.
The boy works.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that that's what he's doing.
He's turned down, the Nashville deal, the whole major stuff, so he wants to do it on his own.
Wow. Okay.
It's a hard life. I'll give the boy credit. He's working the hard way, but it's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. The last time I think I spoke to Jonathan, other than I ran into him at one of his gigs at Newgrass, and he said, hey, was probably my senior year of high school. So I'm really glad that he's, nose to the grind, really getting it done. That's awesome.
He does have the grind. Actually, we did his original podcast in a school bus that he had bought. He bought a school bus, but we were set up to do it. We were going to do it in his car because he was traveling so much just for fun.
Why not?
He calls and says, hey, can we put this back 2 days? I said, sure. Then he calls me and said, now, I got us a real place. I got a school bus. Because he was going to take a band out, but then he realized that financially there's a whole lot more money on one-man deal than there is pulling a band around the United States.
If you can get the same slot for the same price and not have to divvy it up between seven people.
Yeah, and he's combined with a couple of guys that are doing the same thing that they share shows sometimes, and it's a pretty good deal for him.
Yeah, that's good.
Hard way to go, but I admire him for doing it.
Our tattoo artist recently started a band that has kind of a similar feel. They're doing a lot of that kind of country feel.
Right.
They're playing at the Vintage Dog, which just opened.
Yeah. The Vintage
there's
Dog.
There's a new venue in the area that's been booking people left and right, it seems.
It has.
First bar in
Boiling Springs.
I'm shook. I can't believe it.
that is kind of hard to believe. I thought the Twisted Pair was going to beat them, but something happened there. I don't know.
Yep.
But yeah, the It is hard to believe they have music there.
I know, but they are doing it, and her band seems to be playing there all the time. And
what does she call her band?
I want to say that it actually sounds somewhat similar to Jonathan Robinson's project, which is why it made me think of it. I can pull it up real quick. Right. But Casey Wilson is our tattoo artist, and she has such a beautiful voice, and she was always posting like guitar covers and stuff on YouTube, but was too shy, it seemed, to sing much in person.
Right.
But she's been playing up at the Vintage Dog, and today's her birthday, so happy birthday, Casey. I know you won't be listening to this today, but
you'll be on here though.
Steel Roots. Okay. Steel Roots is her band.
All right. I'll check them out. You know me, check everything out.
Absolutely.
All right, Galaxy, have we missed anything?
I don't think so. I think that covered all my bases.
Well, I know that you're busy, particularly on a Friday's probably a big time hair day, so
I'm leaving from here to go do some more.
Thank you for coming and doing this.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
My eyes are so bleary, I guess I'm young, but I feel so weary. I've tried to express it, but I think it's all a bore. It's at the heart of me, a very part of me. Speak slowly, I can't hear you, my mind spinning closer and closer to the rain on the roof, and the rain in my head, and the things that you said. People take it further ahead, but it just gets so foggy. It's nowhere in here, and it's everywhere else that I don't wanna be, but I'm stuck here. But I didn't complain, 'cause I didn't think that I could